So what I wanted to say that was potentially scandalous was that I'm not sure the Pharisee in today's gospel passage from Luke is really all that bad. After all, part of what he prays is actually pretty good. It's a prayer of thanksgiving, after all. He prays, God, I thank you that I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. Nothing wrong with fasting twice a week. And this being stewardship season, I will say unequivocally, there is absolutely everything right with giving away a tenth of your income. Now, perhaps that Pharisee could have phrased his prayer a bit better, saying, Lord, I thank you for giving me the will and the strength to do these good deeds. But still, this Pharisee is, in a sense, half right. Perhaps even right enough to be considered among the righteous. After all, Jesus says elsewhere in the Gospels that he came to save sinners, and that those who are not sick have no need of a physician. That's why he associates with known sinners such as tax collectors. They need him more than the fasting, tithing Pharisee does. So what's the problem with the Pharisee? Why does Jesus say that he did not go home justified from the temple? A professor at Yale Law School named Daniel Markovitz recently authored a book called The Meritocracy Trap, in which he suggests that the idea that those who succeed professionally in our country do so simply because of merit, a blend of inherited intelligence and a strong work ethic, is both untrue and harmful to everyone, including those who are, on the surface, successful. The idea that people who end up at prestigious colleges and companies do so only because of some inherited worthiness they possess leads to at least two problems. The first is smugness. No one likes smugness, and Jesus didn't seem to like it any better than we do. The problem with smugness is that it's based on a lie. Smugness believes that anything you have accomplished in this life is solely because of your own strengths. It does not acknowledge that your gifts may have much to do with unearned genetics, and it doesn't admit any benefits that may have come to you thanks to your family, your race, the zip code in which you grew up, or countless other factors that you did nothing to control. Smugness leads in the opposite direction from thankfulness because you can't thank yourself. Was the Pharisee smug? Maybe. It's not clear whether his prayers of thanksgiving to God for making him such a specimen of upstanding piety are simply a way of saying, God, am I great or what? In any case, smugness is only part of the Pharisee's problem, and the smaller part at that. If you're a Wall Street titan, and pretty darn proud of yourself for it, that smugness will draw you further from God, and that's never a good thing. But it will also draw you further from other people as you put yourself above them. And it's here that we get to that other problem with this Pharisee. A couple minutes ago, I quoted half of the Pharisee's prayer. Here's the half that I skipped. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. And who is he thankful he's not like? Thieves, rogues, adulterers. And he says, even this tax collector. Can you imagine if I said, I thank you I'm not like other people, even David Olson. The Pharisee is putting himself above other people. He could have simply prayed, Lord, thank you for giving me the strength to resist the advances of my neighbor's wife. But instead, he says, Lord, thank you for making me morally superior to those repugnant adulterers. Make no mistake, it is good that he's not committing adultery. And he'd be perfectly within his rights to pray for less adultery in this world without disparaging those who have strayed from their marriage vows. We can and should pray and strive for an end to drug addiction. We should never condemn addicts themselves. So we've seen where this Pharisee is right and where he's wrong. But what about the other character in today's gospel passage? The tax collector. We know he's humble and contrite, but there's one data point, so to speak, that we don't get in this morning's gospel reading. Does the tax collector stop his sinful behavior? We don't know. In fact, the gospel doesn't even tell us whether he intends to stop his sinning. Jesus praises this tax collector simply for taking that first step towards repentance, admitting that he's done wrong. Does Jesus want him to follow up his admission of sin with actual repentance and amendment of life? Of course. But even taking that first step of confession sets him above the Pharisee who was so proud of his piety. By all means, be pious. But don't think yourself better than your neighbor because of it. If you're able to stay on the straight and narrow, give thanks to God for that. But like the tax collector, when you do sin, seek forgiveness with honesty and humility. And then do what we hope the tax collector did. What Jesus commands the adulteress whom he refuses to condemn. Go and sin no more. Amen.